Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. A little bit of nature sounds from the Sunflower State. Might hear some birds back there. Kind of nature sounds, but with metal roof involved. Might hear some raindrops. So consider this motivational and inspirational. Meditate if you must. So two sports takes. One about a former New York team player, and another about the New York, a current New York team, Knicks and Barkley. Okay. So first, the Knicks. The Knicks, breaking news, have fired Tom Thibodeau. And most of us with a working brain are going, what are you talking about? What are you doing? But there's logic. Last year it made better sense than this year. Why does it seem like total nonsense? Because of what you're thinking, but I'm still going to make the argument, what many of you are thinking. Yeah, he's known as somebody who wears out his starters. But guess what he finally did this postseason? He adjusted. He said, okay, we're too close to the prize. Let me put in some guys off the bench. Shamit. Let me use Mitchell because he works better. And other guys, let me give them minutes so that my guys can rest. Let me give them minutes so that we can provide good defense at moments in time and they can shine in that way while Brunson and Kat are not as good defensively and one or the other are getting rest. And that's kind of the point here. The weakness is the personnel. How does Knicks management not see that? Now, the Kat trade worked out. I mean, he was nice. He showed a certain determination in the playoffs. But anybody with a brain can see. Now, granted, if game one had miraculously gone the way it had gone, and the New York Knicks win this, we're talking about a razor's edge about psychologically what difference that makes. We went six games anyway, right? So is it the razor's edge that makes the difference of holding home court better and the like? So, I just don't understand it in that, like I said, Thibodeau did adjust. Thibodeau is using his bench. If anything, you'd say this is a new chapter. Yes, the Bulls years and through last year, he leaned too heavily on his starters. But don't you think that this is the indication? Maybe you needed exit interviews and said, hey, love what you did in the playoffs. Are you going to continue to do that? That's how we see this team going forward better. And maybe he said no, but I doubt he'd say no. It just seems like such an odd move, short of some real conflict that we are not knowing behind the scenes in exit interviews or approach or, you know, questions like that or the like. It doesn't make sense. Now, and the other thing too is you can still adjust. Everybody knows it's personnel. It was a personnel problem this year. Okay, so you like Kat, you like Brunson for what they're worth. You tweaked around them with Nova Knicks continuation, but you can continue to tweak. They've got okay defensive players. You can continue to tweak and still keep the coach that learned his lesson finally, that still got you guys further. I don't know about further than 25 years, but I think just as far, and if not further than 25. Yeah, I believe it's the first conference finals in 25 years, so therefore they hadn't even gotten to the conference finals. How do you not go, this is a progression, and the other part of the progression is that the coach is understanding to maybe address his one weakness. It's personnel. It's just so blindingly bizarre. Those of us in more stable, you know, or fans of more stable franchises don't understand it. Now, we understand when we're stuck. The Chiefs had some years after they were absolutely horrible where it just kept seeming like, yeah, but are we going to be 8-9 every year, 8-8 at the time? And we understand it's at the same predicament the Steelers are in. Yeah, if you see that you're not moving, that you're stable, but you're not moving in a good direction and it's just become stale, yes, that makes sense. But literally, Thibodeau has progressed in the last 3 years, and by a step each year. So it's blindingly bizarre. Now to the second topic. As far as the former New York player I'm talking about, Barkley. And Barkley saying, listen, I believe this Philadelphia Eagles team is top five all time. Said it in some podcast. He didn't like declare it to the public, but it, someone was, that's how these, you know, now that I think about it, I think there's the argument to be made. He didn't write a Wall Street Journal article about it. And I don't know that anybody went crazy with misinterpretation, but I know it happens. The LeSean McCoy type of thing, shady, where the classic example, I was watching that show with him and about three other people, Acho and others, around Thanksgiving. And so they had a theme for the question. Hey, are there any quarterbacks who you would say, let's invite them from the kids' table at Thanksgiving to the adult table? And you and I know what that means. It means, hey, you know what? Upon further review, we think we're going to level you up a little bit. Congratulations. Welcome to the adult table. Welcome to the table with Mahomes and Allen and Burrow. Welcome. And Jackson. It doesn't mean they're better than any of them. It just means we did look at you as a kid and now we don't. And McCoy turns it into this no nuance answer a different question argument of, you try to tell me he's as good as Mahomes? Not the question, Shady. Not the question. So in that spirit, you know, to understand what somebody's saying, it's kind of like politics. Are you going to get outraged while also trying to give the least amount of leniency and regard to the statement or question at hand? And so when he says best five teams of all time, there's a few things he could be saying, and more than one is reasonable. One is he saying, like, dynastically? Obviously not. This is not a dynastic run. You can say it's a start of one. They've been to three Super Bowls and whatever it's been, eight-ish years, and won two of them. On the outskirts, it doesn't seem like a dynastic run, but it's a hell of a era. So, you know, they almost won the third one a couple of years ago as well. But that doesn't have to be his argument for all time, because then people go, are you kidding me? The 49ers, the Cowboys? Come on, man. You know, and so on and so forth. And whatever those other ones, the Iron Curtain and so on. The Chiefs, you know, even if you go there, whatever it might be, you can say, okay, fine. Not five all-time dynastically, because usually with that, you figure at least they've won two within a three-year span or something like that. Two within a four-year span, not two in an eight-year span. But that may not be what he means. What else could he mean? He could mean, well, what about our season? And people could go, you kidding me? So that's fine. It's not what he means. They didn't have a great season. They didn't have a top five all-time season. But there's two other things that he can mean. How this is comprised, backed up by results. Okay, look at our players. How do they stack up, you know, if you will, if you made a list of all pros and put our players ranked at all of the positions. And defensively and offensively, they've got some great, great arguments all over the place. Offensive line, A.J. Brown, obviously Barkley, Hurts would be up there, but a lot of that's kind of based on what he finally did. Coming off of last year, people wouldn't have rated him as high, but they didn't ask him to, blah, blah, blah. We know that. But defensively, the defensive line as well, linebackers, even corners. Like, you stack up anybody's talent, and really, whether or not you'd vote for them All-Pro. If you voted top 15 for All-Pro, would an Eagle be in your list? And if you did that, you would find a large number of players. When I say top 15, just meaning you vote for a lot of people and it's ranked. You know, you'd find a large number of players that are listed for the Eagles in the top five or top seven. And some of them at clear number ones, right? And so That argument's too made to there to be made, for sure. Now, do you say, have these guys shown as all-time players yet? No, that's a different argument, but that's not what he meant. And the other thing he could mean is, at the end of the year, forget the whole year, as we develop, because as a Chiefs fan, I know this, your team at week 16, if you do it right, has nothing to do with what your team is at week 1 and week 7. Ideally, you continue to plug holes and develop, and your team is better. So, doesn't matter what the Philly team in week 1 and week 3 were a top 5 team. That may not be his point. Like, if we put this finely tuned machine that was the team that obliterated my Eagles. I've talked about the fact that they didn't even try to adjust, which is another whole thing. But nonetheless, take that away and you can just say it's an obliteration. It's an embarrassment of a two-time champ, and it's a great playoff run on the way. As that team was running like a well-oiled machine, like a Maserati on the streets, then is that team performing at an all-five top-time team? That could be what he means, and that argument is there to be made. Late season, postseason run, your personnel plus your results, plus how you finished off. That argument is there to be made. So I think it's important, to not just because you don't like the guy, or say for me, it's obviously a lot easier to not hate the really good team on the other side, on the other conference, because, after all, you don't have to play them until the Super Bowl. But even for me, the Eagles obliterated my very team that I root for. I don't need to misinterpret on purpose and just be butthurt about that. Oof, top five all time, what are you, crazy? And have some personal affront to it. So I do think it's reasonable if you go to what he probably meant by it. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.